Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi.
Hello.
Today we're going to be playing a two-player game, The Snow BP.
Yep.
Which you will be sad to miss out on, a space tactical game. It seems right up our alley. Yep. Because today we're going to be playing Star Wars Armada, designed by James Kniffen. I assume the K is silent.
Maybe it is Kniffen. I don't know.
Kniffen of Forbidden Stars, X-Wings Miniatures Game, Sid Meier's Civilization, and Christian T. Peterson of Twilight Imperium, Game of Thrones, the board game, and many, many others. The art is by Ben Zweifel of Star Wars Rebellion, Star Wars Imperial Assaults, Lord of the Rings. This guy got some really good IPs to work on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like if he's Fantasy Flight, he probably...
And then it is published by Fantasy Flight. The description is massive Star Destroyers fly to battle against rebel corvettes and frigates. Banks of turbo lasers unleash torrential volleys of fire against squadrons of X-Wings and TIEs. Engineering teams race to route additional power to failing shields, laser blasts, and explosions flare across the battlefield. Even a single ship can change the tide of battle. In Star Wars Armada, you assume the role of Fleet Admiral, serving with either the Imperial Navy or Rebel Alliance. You assemble your fleet and engage the enemy. Using the game's unique maneuver tool, you steer your capital ships across the battlefield, even while squadrons of starfighters buzz around them. Then, as the ships exchange fire, it's your job to issue tactical commands that will decide the course of the battle and perhaps the fate of the galaxy. The mechanics are action queue, critical hits and fails, rolling dice, and variable player powers. And the box art...
I think it's your classic... I would almost equate it to concept art, but I feel like it's art you would see on the book of a, like, extended universe. You know, this is a novel about star based in Star Wars, and this is the type of the art you would see on the front of a novel.
All right, so based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
Yeah, I've been interested in it for a while. It's supposed to be X-Wing but with capital ships,
right?
Which that idea intrigues me.
Yeah, we've played X-Wing and enjoyed it.
Yep.
And I do like capital ships, and I think they're not done as much.
No, I feel like it's harder. Like, I've seen like tons of like historical war games where they have giant battleships. I think the only thing it'd be hard to capture would be like you're playing on a 2D surface. So how do you capture the 3D nature of space combat?
The same as X-Wing though.
True. Yeah.
I guess, how do I think it's played?
Yeah.
I'm curious. So like, I know it has the maneuvers and the actions and, well, first to start with, it's going to have weird dice. It's a fantasy flight game. So I'm just going to knock out the easy one.
And not weird as in like weird number of faces. It will be a standard face die. It will just have weird icons.
Six-sided dice that with symbols on it that I will never figure out what they mean. It's going to have the maneuvers like X-Wing, but I'm curious because they're not going to be like, you know, my Star Destroyer is not going to do a barrel roll, I feel like.
Or maybe it will.
So I'm curious as to how it'll do like a slower pace. I'm guessing you're just going to have a lot more shorter and more deliberate movements to make. I'm curious about like how they'll handle the whole capital ship part of like, are you going to have like teams? Like I'm thinking like Star Trek Bridge Commander or something where you've got like your engineering and you've got to like, your engineering person has to do stuff and then you have like your weapon systems and like, will there be different roles around your ship that you have to like do different things on?
That's a good question.
I think so. Cause that, to me, like when you say capital ship, that's what I think. You got to somehow capture the experience of like a team of people manning this giant ship.
Yeah. I was reading an article about like somebody had asked the question, why are ships in science fiction always like, why is it always the Navy? And I think the idea is you have these, because it equates best to what we view as a Navy now, right? So like when a ship goes out to sea, it's got a crew, the ship stays on the boat and like, you don't really get off the ship, right? You just sort of go to sheep, but then there's different departments. So like you have an engineering department and they only take care of the engines. You've got a deck department who takes care of like the general maintenance around the ship. You've got, you know, the cooks and all that stuff who feed the crew. So you have different divisions within the ship. And with, you know, usually in science fiction, you have something very similar. So like every time we see a bridge shot of a Star Destroyer in Star Wars, there's always like the captain standing on the bridge and like all these people working all over the place. So, you know, it's that idea. So yeah, I could see where you would think there would be different aspects or different roles you have to take.
Rules wise, otherwise I think it's going to play a lot like X-Wing, where you're just taking, you're rolling your hit dice and they're going to be rolling their defense dice, and you know, critical hits will do different things around the ship and take down different systems. So I think it'll play a lot like X-Wing in that regard. I think it'll just be maybe slower and more complex in the actions you can take.
All right. So for history, we're actually going to talk about the history of one of, I would say probably one of the most famous ships in Star Wars. And if maybe not famous in terms of like everybody knows the name, but famous in terms of like, it is one of the first ships that if you had been in the theaters in 1978 and saw the opening of A New Hope, like it is the first Imperial ship that you see.
Yeah. I think if you said picture Star Destroyer, like this is the one you'd picture.
Yeah. And like it just this super not that long they don't all look alike, shot.
But that shot. Yeah. More of the scene than the actual ship.
Yeah. So the name of that ship was the Devastator, and it was an Imperial Imperial I-class Star Destroyer. And it was at the time Darth Vader's flagship during that opening scene of A New Hope. And it's chasing down the Tantive IV, which is a Carillion Corvette. But the ship itself was actually the very last of the I-class Star Destroyer. And it was built probably around 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. So for those who may not be familiar, typically the timeline for Star Wars is based around the Battle of Yavin. So you'll see like zero BBY. So that is the year that the Battle of Yavin occurred. So anything before or after that will be based off of that. Devastator was most likely built about 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. And it actually belonged to, it was the flagship of a Lord Tien, who was a character that showed up in the radio reproduction of Star Wars that aired in 1981.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was cool too. I actually, when I was a kid, I had the book that was the script for that. It was very interesting. So yeah, it was the last in its class. And then they started building the Imperial II class a year later. So there's a bunch of those in the Battle of Endor and a couple at the Battle of Yavin itself. So yeah, so it belongs to Darth Vader there. You actually see it at the end of Rogue One as well. So when all the ships are trying to flee from Scarif, the Devastator is the one that sort of jumps in and they start like destroying ships. It actually is the one that destroys the Rebel flagship called the Profundity. And we see the scene where Leia gets the plans. She gets on board the Corvette, which is docked inside the Profundity. And then, you know, they get away and then Darth Vader chases them right in the Devastator. So that brings us into A New Hope. And then there's some other stuff that it does kind of in the extended universe with some sort of like this weird, these weird like whaling ships. I didn't really understand that portion of it, but the it's in between kind of the Battle of Yavin and the Battle of Endor that Darth Vader gets the Executor class, the Super Star Destroyer Executor. So then he turns over the Devastator to a new guy, Grand General Cassio Togg, and he becomes the commander of the Devastator. However, the Devastator stays within Death Squadron, which is Darth Vader's personal flotilla of ships. And then the next time that we see the Devastator, and we don't actually see it per se, but it is at the Battle of Endor, and the Devastator is actually destroyed at the Battle of Endor. So when the Death Star, spoiler alert, I guess, when the second Death Star is destroyed and it explodes, the Devastator is caught in that blast, and it is destroyed there. Oh, and it was at the Battle of Hoth. So we actually see it in all three movies. Yeah, so there you go. That is the history of the Devastator, Imperial Star Destroyer.
Before you jump into the rules, how long ago do you think BP stopped listening?
Ooh. Well, I feel like she's still going, but she's like shaking her head about how that isn't history. There's some head shaking going on for sure.
Yeah.
She's disappointed. She's disappointed not just in me, but she's disappointed in both of us.
How do we play?
Okay. So Star Wars Armada is a mission-based game where players take control of a fleet of iconic ships from the Star Wars universe, and players are going to meet the mission of the objective. Sorry, the player who meets the mission objectives is the winner. Every mission is going to have a set number of rounds and the goal, so it'll be different every game. And technically, the way the game is designed, you could say, hey, Eric, you build 75 points of a fleet, I'll build 75 points, and we'll just meet up and play this mission. It is a miniature war game, and so that's how it's set up, so that you can build your own forces. We're going to follow the recommendations from Fantasy Flight, and we're going to play the learning scenario from the starter box. So the Imperials are going to have a Victory Star Destroyer and half a dozen squadrons of TIE fighters, and they're going to be facing off against a Nebulon B frigate, a Corellian corvette, and about four squadrons of X-wings. The scenario itself is essentially a team deathmatch, and the winner will be the player who destroys the most points of their enemy fleet within six rounds. Each round is going to consist of four phases. We're both going to play during both of those phases before we move into the next phase. So the first phase is the command phase. So in this phase, we're going to secretly and simultaneously use our command dials to choose commands for our ships. And that's just for the capital ships. Command dials will provide the ships with bonuses, and every ship will have a command value, and a player must put that many command dials with their choices face down next to the ship's card. If a dial is already next to the card, the new dial will be placed underneath. So there is a little bit of programming that goes into the game as well. So the example is the Nebulon B frigate has a command value of 2. So when the command phase ends, there will always be 2 dials next to the frigate. But when we're doing it, there will be 1 dial on the ship when I am or you are choosing which command to do. And then you'll put it underneath. So our 4 options are navigate. So that allows you to change your speed and increase maneuverability. You can do squadron, which allows you to command a nearby squadron to move and attack early. You can repair, which lets you recover shields and hull damage, or concentrate fire, which allows you to increase the power of one of your attacks. So once everybody has chosen their commands, then we're going to go on to the ship phase. So in this phase, we're going to take turns based on who has initiative, and we're going to activate ships in 3 steps. So first, you're going to reveal the command dial. The ship that you choose to activate, you're going to reveal the top dial. Whatever that dial is, you're going to replace it with a token that matches that dial, and then you can reserve the action for the later round. Some of them can be reserved for later. Some have to be done immediately, and that'll be just based on the action itself. Either way, the dial is placed on the ship card to signify that that ship has been activated that round. So then you can attack. So each ship can perform 2 attacks, but the second attack must come from a different hull zone than the first. So just like X-Wing, where it had like different portions of the hull, you know, you got starboard, port, bow, and stern. Capital ships have the same thing. So if you attack a ship off your port bow or your port, you have to attack off the starboard for your second attack. The range rule will dictate which color dice they get to roll for the attack. So those dice will have different values of hits. So black is going to be short range, so you'll have more hits on that one. Red is your long range, and you'll have less hits on that one. So it equates to, you know, it's harder to hit things that are further away. And then there's a blue as well. The range ruler will tell you which dice you get to roll and how many of each you do get to roll. The opponent is not going to be rolling dice. So unlike X-Wing, where the opponent got to roll dice to evade, the opponent is going to have defense dice that they're going to be allowed to spend in order to negate some of those dice. So for each hit or critical icon rolled, the defender will take damage after the attack dice are rolled and the attacker spends their accuracy tokens. And the accuracy tokens will basically limit the number of defense tokens the defender can play. The defender gets to spend any defense tokens they have left to negate or shift some of the incoming damage. And after that, each damage icon does 1 damage and each critical does a hull damage. And if the defender is also a ship, they deal the first damage card face up. And then finally, they get to execute a maneuver. So based on the ship's speed, the player determines this course with the maneuver tool and then moves the ship. So the maneuver tool is like this crazy snap ruler that has like different segments. And based on the speed of your ship and the type of your ship, it will let you know how many clicks you can go. It'll have like 1 bar, and that means you can click it left or right of center. And then the next one will be like 2 bars, and you could click it 1 or 2 left or right of center. It it actually hooks into like a little notch on the base of the ship, and you just move it along that base. So unlike X-Wing, which had very specific maneuvers.
So the Star Destroyer is not doing a barrel roll, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not doing a barrel roll. But unlike X-Wing, which had the fixed templates, you can change the template just based on your ship's speed. So as you go faster, you can maneuver more. So once we've gone through and we've done all the ships, that'll end the ship phase, and then we go into the squadron phase. So we're going to take turns activating squadrons. The initiative token has a blue side and a red side, and the ships are going to have colors that are equate to that. So during the blue phase, you can only activate blue squadrons. During the red phase, you can only affect red squadrons. And then the ships that, and you can't activate... you can't activate squadrons that were activated during the previous phase because of a command from one of the capital ships. So squadrons activated can either move or attack, but they can't do both. And they can move in any direction up to any range on their squadron card utilizing the range ruler. So basically they get to go anywhere they want, just within a set range. And the squadrons that are within range one of another squadron cannot move and must attack that squadron instead of a ship if they have a choice. For attacks, the squadrons can attack one other squadron or one enemy ship hull zone within distance one. So the squadrons are going to roll their attack dice as indicated on their squadron card. And when attacking another squadron, they roll the dice indicated by the anti-squadron section of their card. So for example, the X-Wing squadron they get to roll four dice when they attack a squadron, but they only get to roll one dice when they attack a capital ship. And then for each damage icon they rolled, the other, whatever their target is, suffers one damage, and squadrons always ignore critical hits from other squadrons. And when ships attack squadrons, they roll once per squadron in the chosen arc, and they also ignore critical hits against squadrons are always just one damage. And then once we've done activating all the squadrons that we can, we go into the status phase, which is all exhausted defense tokens are flipped to their readied side. The initiative card is flipped to its other side. So that's the one that's either blue on one side or red on the other. And any exhausted upgrade cards, which we're not using, but that is something you can spend points on if you're building your own fleet, they would get rotated back so that they are unexhausted. And then the game ends when all of a player's ships are destroyed or the objective for that specific mission is met. And then if neither player is eliminated for this specific scenario after six rounds, the game ends and the players earn points based on the total cost of the enemy ships and squadrons they destroyed. And the player with the most points is the winner.
All right, let's Star Wars. We just finished a game of Star Wars Armada. To recap, Kiwi, playing the Rebel Alliance, destroyed three squadrons of TIE fighters for 24 points out of 121. I, playing the Galactic Empire, won by taking out all four X-Wing squadrons for 52 points out of 153. Strategy.
What was your strategy?
Shoot things with my Star Destroyer. Actually, I think my TIE fighters did more. I just swarmed you with the TIE fight. I put like a line out in front and then swarmed you and focused on taking down your X-Wings. And that worked. And then it was kind of just chasing you around with my Star Destroyer. Helplessly shooting at you.
I mean, I feel like it was very imperial of you to send the TIE fighters to do all the work and screen the Star Destroyer.
Well, usually, they should be basically cannon fodder while my main ship did all the damage, but they did a really good job. Congratulations, pilots. Yeah, I think had the game gone on another couple rounds, though, I was in a lot of trouble. My shields were depleted. You were just running circles around me with your little corvette and frigate, and I could not do any damage to you because you evaded everything. So I'm lucky the game ended when it did.
Yeah, and I pushed my X. I should have kept my X-Wings around my ships is what I should have done. I pushed them in to try and destroy TIE fighters, not realizing how powerful their swarm rule was. And I basically, I used my X-Wings like the, you know, the bad guys in like Kung Fu movies, and they always attack one at a time.
Yep.
That's basically what I did with my X-Wings. Your TIE fighters were Bruce Lee, and I sent my minion fighters at you one at a time, and you just kicked my ass every time. Yeah, and what I should have done is I should have waited to play those squadron tokens until everything was a lot closer and kept those ships in with my capital ships. Which I think is more Rebel Alliance with using the fighters to protect the capital ships and getting most of the power. Although both Death Stars were really destroyed by fighters, but that's neither here nor there.
Though I think you did well with your capital ships. You're maneuvering around me, staying at range, which is a little surprising. I thought my Star Destroyer would be really heavy hitting at long range and just like really weak up close. But really most of my fire or half of my firepower is up close. So I kept trying to get closer to you, but I can't. So I thought it would be the opposite, where I was trying to keep distance and you were trying to kind of like do sort of like quick attacks by me and get out back out of range.
Yeah.
But it kind of played a little differently than I expected.
So thematically, I think this leads very well into the question, like, do you think this game is thematic?
You know, when I was talking about like capturing, you know, capital ship fighting, which I think is tricky, I thought the maneuvering was good because you're maneuvering around, your corvettes definitely felt faster and it didn't feel like too like crazy maneuvers like an X-Wing or anything. So, and I definitely felt like I was a very sluggish Star Destroyer that didn't move very much. So I think it captured it there. The tokens kind of did what I was talking about with like different command sections and things, but
yep.
I'm thinking of Bridge Commander, which was a Star Trek video game, to me, like, is the best capturing of capital ship kind of combat and stuff. And I don't think it was quite to that level of like feeling like you're commanding a starship, like with the whole crew underneath.
Do you think it's because that's the difference between a board game and a video game?
No, because I think there's board games out there that do try to simulate it much differently. I think it's the difference between a tactical minis game versus just a different style of game.
Yeah. And in Bridge Commander, were you just the one ship?
Yes. You're always playing like one. Yeah. Well, I think maybe you could command other ships, but it was like primarily controlling one. It was a long time ago since I played it. I kind of need to replay it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking there are board games, Space Cadets, where everyone is like playing a different function on the ship. Yep. So like that is kind of more, or Space Alert, which is a little bit different because everyone's running around doing the same, like, but there's different jobs to be done and everyone's trying to do those jobs. So I think those kind of capture a lot of that sort of, we're on a big ship and there's a lot of jobs to do and everyone's running around doing it. Whereas I don't know that this captured it, but I think I didn't know that it would just because I knew it was a minis game.
Yeah, I think experience-wise, this game is trying to go for a different experience than those.
Yeah, so do I. But that's when you tell me it's a capital ship game, that's what my mind goes to. But I would say compared to like X-Wing or some of the other fighter games, this definitely felt like a different pace at a much bigger scale.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think thematically, like, I thought the Star Destroyer was going to do a lot better.
Yeah, just in terms of Star Wars theme, I agree with you there. It played a little differently up from, and maybe because it's a little Victory Star Destroyer.
That's what I was about to say. I wonder if it's because it's a lower class than an Imperial Star Destroyer.
I guess it's more of a components game, like most Fantasy Flight games. The models are great. That's what always attracts me in the store is I see the really cool capital ship models.
Yeah. And like pre-painted too. Like this is one of those games where it's just like, I don't have to do anything. I can literally play it straight out of the box. I think, the D6 generation always called it the Christmas Day effect, I think is what they called it. So their thing is if you can take a game and immediately play it out of the box, so no gluing, no painting, no nothing. Like that is a better game than a game where you have to put everything together.
So then just other components, it's Fantasy Flight. There's dice with symbols. There's a lot of dials. There's a lot of tokens.
Yeah.
They've like their little fancy components. I don't know. Sometimes I think earlier in the game, you know, I'm like, maybe just a little block here or there, or like a little cube would be easier, but it's kind of their brand. So,
yeah, I think you hit on them. The models are amazing. The fact that they're pre-painted and ready to play is awesome. The pictures on the cards themselves,
Star Wars art,
they've got like a ship. Yeah, Star Wars art. And the schematic pictures are kind of cool. And I know that like we had generic X-Wing and TIE Fighter squadrons, but I know in the, you know, the decks here, they've got like Black Squadron in different squadrons with like different pilots that were.
I was wondering that because I know in X-Wing you have a lot of characters and things, which makes it kind of more personal.
Yeah, you can do the same thing here. So you can have ships that are upgraded. So there's upgrade cards that you could like add things to maybe make more shields. I don't know. I'd have to look through them. And then there's also squadrons that are, you know, it's a character squadron, but it's more like, you know, Jack Porkins is leading this X-Wing squadron. Not that I would want to be in a squadron led by Jack Porkins, but...
Is that only for the squadrons or do the capital ships get like characters in command?
I think the capital, I don't know if the capital, I think the capital ships get characters. We'd have to go through the, they get upgraded. They get added as upgrade cards.
Yeah. I like that. Cause it gives a lot of personality to kind of the ships and things rather than just being.
Yeah. So like, that's how you kind of make it your own almost. And that's how you would change your ships.
Mechanics, I would kind of went over some of these and like how it compared to X-Wing and how I felt it as a major game, but
I was gonna say I like the command. We talked about it like right at the beginning of the game. It's like, you know, why would I ever want to have three command dials? And you know, as we talked about it, it was like, well, because the orders that you give on the bridge of a Star Destroyer, it's got to get through some people before it can actually get enacted. Whereas the Corvette had one command dial. So you were basically choosing anything you wanted to do for that round because it's a smaller ship. It's more agile. Those orders are getting out faster because there's fewer people. So it made sense.
At the start of the game, I thought, oh, I get three command dials. So that must be better. And then like halfway through the game, I'm not. Like, oh no, I need to repair now.
Yeah, it's not better. So you have to like really think ahead. Like, and that's what I was trying to do with my frigate, knowing that it was about to get into range. I was trying to like, okay, I know I'm going to need to repair soon. So I'm going to get that repair in now so that I can have that token for later. So I thought that was because that's very different from X-Wing, where X-Wing is you're picking the maneuver you're going to do at the beginning of every game. Every round, because in X-Wing, I could play a token. And then by the time I got to activate that person, I can't do anything because no one's around for me to do anything.
There's a much more predictive nature to X-Wing where I've got to kind of guess what you're going to do, more like a dogfight. Whereas I did that didn't feel that as much in this game. It's a lot more, you know, I kind of know where you're going next because I know what your speed's at. You can't maneuver that much. So you kind of know where people are going. So it's less about like that prediction part and more about just trying to like get in range and keep your things together and use your command tokens at the right time.
Which I feel like plays well into that capital ship combat.
Rules. I mean, it's a minis game. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit more rulesy than most of what we play. I do believe you commented mid game, like, man, I read these rules, but I still got to read everything.
We end up doing these show notes like a while ago. And just because of like scheduling, we weren't able to play. I tried to read the rules earlier just to like try to get back into it. But like the rule summary that I made really didn't cover everything. Like, because I'm trying to condense these rules down because they're already boring, right? You guys aren't listening to me. So I'm trying to condense them down and get better at kind of describing them. And that means I leave out a bunch of rules.
Which is fine.
I feel like in this game, like other games, I'm usually able to get into it faster because the rules that I leave out, like usually aren't that big or they're intuitive, you know, where in this game, I don't think that the rules that got left out for time were intuitive to just be able to like pick up.
No.
So I did spend a lot of time in the rule book, not because it's a bad rule book. I never had to go outside the rule book to find an answer.
You didn't say there wasn't a good sort of like card. Here's all the parts of the card and what they mean.
Yeah. And so that would be my one big complaint is things kind of jump around all over the place. It's one of those rule books where it's like, okay, here's the things you do in the ship phase. If you want to read more about ship attacks, turn to page 13. It's like, I hate that. Yep. Just put everything in the order that it goes so that I can just go through it in the order that I have to perform it. Don't make me jump around the rule book. And then Fantasy Flight always does this thing where it has a learn to play rule book. And then like a, you know, once you've learned to play, like dig into this rule book. And then that rule book is literally just like a tome of rules. And so, and I'm not a big fan of that because of the way they lay out that learn to play book is also just sort of like, it's not, yeah, I don't like the way it's laid out. They did the same thing with X-Wing. I assume they do it with some of their other games as well. I just wish they would lay it out all in order. So that's my complaint about the rules in the rule book.
It's a minis game. So I guess going into it, you got to know you're in for some rules. I feel like it's like Warhammer where we played it for years and still learned new rules. So I think it's one of those games where you get like, you know, get the good majority of them and then kind of guess the rest. Like I know you said you kind of get to choose which side you shoot at, but I was like, well, let's play more realistic. Like which side does it look like it would be hitting?
And I agree with that. I think by like 4 or 5, I think we were chugging along and like we...
I think we're comfortable, yeah. Like I think once you get it, yeah, it's not too bad, but then you're going to add more stuff in and it'll be more...
Yeah, plus when you, like once you get into upgrades and like all these different rule changes. So like a standard game is 120 minutes is their average play time and we played for about 90. So like we came in under the play time, but we were also doing the starter scenario, which was literally just battle royale, straight combat, so...
Player interaction, it's a combat game. I mean... There's player interaction. You're looking what other people do. Like I said, it's a little bit less predictive than X-Wing. So if you really like that piece, you might not like it as much as X-Wing. But otherwise, you know, it's a combat game. I don't know what more to say on interaction.
Yeah. The next question is, would you play it again?
Would I play it again? Yeah. I mean, it's like I guess this is a better question. Would you play it over X-Wing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Because I think the answer is, would we play it again? Yes, we would both play it again. Yes,
I'd definitely play it again.
So now the question is would you play this or X-Wing?
I think I'd give this one another shot next just to try it out. And maybe with some of the characters and stuff. I still want to like Capital Ship stuff more. I don't know if I had a good experience with kind of the way I was sort of just... Like I felt kind of helpless in the middle of your two ships spinning around me. So I think I'd want to try a different setup. But I don't know. What about you?
I like X-Wing. Mm-hmm. I absolutely like this game more.
Do you? I'm surprised. I thought you would really like the maneuvering and stuff of X-Wing more.
Well, I think for the reasons that you said, though, like X-Wing it's hard to predict because there are so many different maneuvers that the ships can do that you're trying to figure out like, okay, what's he going to do if he goes there? Like, then I need to do this. I feel like you don't need to do that as much with this game. In this game, it was just maneuvering around because it was easy to figure out where the Star Destroyer was going to go. Man. And even with the Corvette, like you had a pretty good idea because you know you can't do like 90 degree turns in any of these ships.
Like I was able to move my TIE fighters ahead of where you would be. So that I could shoot you the next round. Because
you knew where I was going to be. Yeah. And like just the idea of being able to control giant starship, like, you know, massive capital ships. Like I just like that a lot more. So I already have like a small set of X-Wing that I've kept. Mm-hmm. I never played anything like competitive. I just had it to play. And then I had some ships beyond just the starter set. I like this so much more that I would be willing to sell that to just have Armada.
One thing I liked of this over X-Wing is like firing arcs are much friendlier. It's like your fighters 360, my ship, I think all of our ships had at least decent weapons 360, you know, certain arcs are better, but you were never kind of out of the fight. Whereas I found in X-Wing a lot of the times is you get in that phase where you're maneuvering around each other and nobody is shooting anybody. For like three rounds, or well, I mean, we're bad at it, so don't come at us with your professional stuff.
I
mean,
Paxton and I played a game, I remember, that just like lasted for rounds because we both had like one or two ships and we just couldn't get into a position where you couldn't shoot at each other. And I don't think you could really get into a position like that. I think the first round was the only one that we couldn't shoot at each other. And it was literally just because we started so far away that we just had to get into range with each other.
I also think we overestimated, ranges. So like I started at a slower speed. I could have gone a little faster. So yeah, like I think you're pretty much more active in every round in this one versus maneuver. Oh, nope, missed. Maneuver. Okay, this time I get to shoot.
So I would replace X-Wing with Armada is basically what I'm saying.
That is Star Wars Armada.
If you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. It's not a trap. Play more games. What the fuck is that?
What icon? Is that? I was gonna say, we're doing pretty good with our Fantasy Flight icons.
Intensify forward firepower.
It's a trap.
Too late.
And also because J.J. Abrams has no creativity.
Ooh, shots fired. But yeah, that's probably not wrong. Bum, 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 bum.